Our reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 1 and starting at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Thank you, Ruth. If I asked you what the number one thing you thought was on God's heart for humanity, what would you say? What is the most important thing, the primary thing on God's heart for humanity? This is not rhetorical. You can give me an answer. To love one another. Okay, any other answers?
To know and love him.
Sorry?
To know and love him.
To know and love him. Any other answers? Peace. Hope.
Redemption.
Big Christian word. Yes? Spread the word. You're just thinking about the title of today's talk. Nice. That's like children, isn't it? Put their hand up and say, "Jesus," is the answer. Yeah. Well, you know, I think all those things are important. I'm sure they're all on God's heart. I think the primary thing that will be on God's heart is for humanity will be for us to be in relationship with him. Good and right relationship with him, yeah? That when he created us with the purpose of being in good and right relationship with us. What happened was we strayed away from God. We let sin get in the way. That created that barrier. The desire for that relationship between God and humanity was so much so that he was willing to go to the extreme of sending his own son into the world to come and die for us on the cross. Yeah, that kind of is as far as you can go, isn't it, really, in a sense? When he came and died on the cross for us. And that was to bring us back into relationship again, to enable us to be back in right relationship again with him. So yes, being in relationship with God, and yes, I think in terms of, if that is the most important thing on God's heart, and we as Christians are meant to share God's heart, yes? Is that right? Then what should be the most important thing on our heart? What should be the most important thing on our heart? Again, not rhetorical. Sorry? To share our faith with others. To what purpose? Thank you. To bring them into relationship with God. I think the most important thing on a Christian's heart should be, one, to be in right relationship with God ourselves, yes? And two, to share God's heart is that others, other people, might come to be in right relationship with him as well. Can we agree to that? Yeah? More important than peace, more important than happiness, more important than anything else, those things can come with it, but people can sometimes feel at peace or can be happy and not be in that relationship. Yes? So the most important thing is that on God's heart, which we want to share as being on our heart, is that people be in right relationship with God as ourselves and helping others to be the same. What is God's primary way of enabling that to happen? And now we come to the answers over there before, which is for us to communicate that to other people, to share that with other people. Out of us having that same heart that we want other people, because we share God's heart, the most important thing for us as Christians is to help other people come into that right relationship with him. And God's chosen way of doing that is through us when he said, go and make disciples. Go and preach the good news. Go and tell people about it. Go and tell them that I want to be in right relationship with them. Go and tell them that I've provided a way of doing that, of enabling that. Go and tell them that I love them and that I have died for them to bring them back, to bring God and man back together in right relationship again. Go and share that with them. As I said last week, he didn't tell us to, the primary purpose was not to go and run toddler groups or go and run youth clubs or go and have church services or go and make people happy or go and carry people shopping across the road. Those were all good things to do, but they're all means to an end. What is the end? What is the goal? To bring people into right relationship with God. And, as I also pointed out last week, a lot of people do those good things. But we need to connect the dots to Jesus, because that is at the heart of it, what's on God's heart, and that is what needs to be on our heart. Now, how good are we at it? That was a question I asked a few weeks back. If that is the most important thing on God's heart, and that's the most important thing on our heart, which it should be, how successful are we being at seeing people get saved, come into right relationship with God? How many have we seen that happen to this week? This month? And so on. And we say, well, it's not our job to save people, it's God's job to save people. Oh, is it his fault then? Are we passing the book? No, he sent us to tell them. He told us to make disciples. It's a partnership. Who's failing who in this partnership? And so this is a serious challenge to us as a church. And today's title in our basic Christianity series we've been doing, and we've only got two more this week and next week. Next week's our last one. Is sharing our faith with others. And it's really important. It's really important. Here's five reasons why we should witness and why it's important. Number one, it was a command of God, of Jesus. He told us to go and do it. Have we got the verse, Dan, as well? You haven't got the verse. Okay. The verse is, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Share the good news with others. And so he's told us that that's what he wants us to do. I'm going to go on to the second one, but Dan's trying to find the verses for me, are you, mate? There we go. Number two. Compel. So first of all, he's told us to go and do it. Matthew 28:19 says the same. The second one is, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 9:16. I might actually look these up then. I thought we were going to have them on the screen, but I will try and look them up really quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 16 says this. Well, chapter 9, I said, didn't I? Yeah, chapter 9, verse 16 says, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul said, he's got to share this stuff. And why? Because he knows he's been called to do it. Why? Because he knows it's a command of God. Why? Because it's just within him. It's such good news. He's got to share it. Why? Because the spirit within him compels him to share this news with other people. So we should be, I think, if this is so important, we should be compelled to share this stuff. We just have to get it out there and share this good news. It's such good news. Number three, compassion. Matthew 9, verse 36. Well, you know this verse. I'm sure many of you have heard it before. It's where Jesus looked out and he had compassion on them because they looked lost, like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion should drive us to share this good news with others, to bring this hope. Someone said about the hope and the peace. Compassion for people. If we don't think they've got anything missing and they're all okay, then you won't have any compassion for them. But if we recognise that there's something missing that's fundamental in their life, if we recognise that other people need Jesus and he could be the answer to many of the situations and the struggles that they face, and not only that, he can be the hope that they need for the future, that, but we think about the alternatives that the Bible talks about for those that don't believe at the end of this life, then our compassion for them, that we don't want them to be without God at the end of this life, we want them to be able to be with him in heaven. Our compassion, our care, our love of others should drive us to share this good news. Number four, comparison. Acts chapter 17 verse 16. This is when Paul is in Athens, and it says, while Paul was waiting there for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Paul went to this city, and he looked around and saw all these idols, and he was distressed. Why was he distressed at this? He was distressed because what he saw, again, he saw people lost, people worshipping false gods, but I think also because the worship that was being given to these false gods was rightly deserved by God himself. So the worship was being directed in a wrong direction. Now God says he's a jealous God. God says he deserves the worship. Don't worship other idols and statues. Recognize me as the creator. I am the one, says God. I am who I am. And the worship of humanity rightly belongs to him as the creator. And it distressed Paul to see people worshipping other things, stone statues and so on. What about in this day and age? Do people still worship statues in this day and age? Yes? Does it distress us? Or do we admire them just as tourist attractions? What other kind of things do people worship today, other than statues? What other things are most important in people's lives, more than God? There's lots of different things. Phones, yeah. There's lots of different things that we might put more important, or time more important than God, than worship of God. We say we don't have time to have our prayer time or read our Bibles, and yet we'll watch all the latest things on the television for hours. You know, what pushes in to people's lives that people worship instead of God? This greatly distressed Paul, because the worship of people, the worship of humanity, rightly belongs to God. That should drive us to share the good news, to share about God. And fifthly, I love this verse in Philemon. It's a little chapter. It's only one chapter, Philemon. And it says there, just find it. I've lost it now. Philemon, it's such a small chapter in the Bible. I know I've gone to the wrong place here. Back a bit. There we are, found it. Philemon. So it's one chapter, so we don't have a chapter. It's verse 6, Philemon chapter 6. And it says this: I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You want to comprehend the fullness of what God has done for you. It says in Philemon, as you share your faith, as you communicate it, as you share with someone else the gospel message, the good news about Jesus, it will become more real for you. As you talk it out, as people ask you questions and you have to think through, it will be helping you, it can help you in affirming your own faith and reminding yourself about just how good this is, how good God is. I have heard about people who have been drifting in their faith a bit, who have been going away from God a bit, and perhaps a young person, and they go off to university. And I know that for some, they then kind of go way off in one direction. But I've also heard stories that sometimes they've gone there and they've been a bit apathetic in their own faith. But they'll meet someone who isn't a Christian and kind of questions things about it. And they will suddenly come alive and share everything that they've learned and talk about it. And their faith becomes back alive again for them as they're sharing their faith. And what this verse is saying is the author's praying, I pray that you may have a full understanding of every good thing you have in Christ as you share, as you tell it your faith. So it's good for you as well. It's good for us as well as we do that. So there's 5 reasons why it can be good to share our faith with others. So here's 10 reasons why we don't do it. 10 reasons why we don't do it. Let's see. Actually, before you put it up, let's see. Can you give me some reasons? We'll see how many of these are on my list in a minute. What reasons can you give of why we don't share our faith with other people? Yes. Fear. Yes. Policies. In the workplace, policies. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Another one?
Daytime priorities,
yes, okay. So in the daytime, in your workplace and things like that, then accepted that you've got limitations on what you can do in certain contexts, but it doesn't stop us sharing our faith outside of those times. So what might stop us when we can do it in terms of, you know, we're not in a place where, or a situation where we can't because of our job? Yes.
Confidence,
yeah. Yeah, thank you. Anything else?
We don't want to be ridiculed.
Don't want to be ridiculed.
Lack of trust.
In God. Okay. Can you expound that a little bit?
So perhaps we think it should all be done in our strength and our power, and in fact, God can use anything in his glory if we allow him. Lack of trust that he could use us.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. We need to trust him that he will and can use us, and we kind of doubt that, and yeah. So we're afraid of doing it because of that. Anything else?
Not too much time with Christians and not enough time with non-Christians.
Okay, too much time around Christians, not enough with non-Christians, thank you. Other things more interesting and fun. Don't want to offend people, because the gospel can be offensive to people. Anything else?
Self-centeredness.
Okay. We're all right, Jack. We're in the kingdom already. Maybe.
Don't know how to.
Good. Okay, let's have a look at some of the ones I've got. Definitely got some of those. Not necessarily all of them, but some of them. We'll put the first one up. So, I think we've got embarrassed to talk about it. We kind of had that one, didn't we? Embarrassed to talk about it. Can I just say, God's not embarrassed of you? God's not embarrassed of you. And he actually said, if we deny him in front of others, then he would deny us. We need to be willing to declare, yes, we belong to him. Yes, we're following him. We need to declare that and be willing to say that and speak up for him. But he's not embarrassed of us, and nor should we be of him. Number two, don't know how to. Oh, that's a common one. Don't know how to. Yes, I think we need to support people better in this. I'll come back to that in a little while, but I think we need to support people better in this because I understand it's hard. Not everyone is an evangelist. Not everyone has the gift of evangelism in that kind of sense. But I do think we can all share our faith in some way. I do think we can all be part of this process. I think we're all called to do that. And so, you know, you don't have to know everything. You just need to share your story. If you are a Christian, you have a story to tell about how you became a Christian, about why you're a Christian, about what you think is good about that. If you were at church at the weekend, then you have something to talk about to do with your weekend. When everyone else is talking about what they were doing at the weekend, you can talk about what you were doing at the weekend. You can say, oh, I was at church this weekend. The minister was actually talking about our faith with other people. You can say that. And they'll probably say, well, why don't you talk to me about it then? Maybe. You never know. It might open an opportunity. Number three, don't want to be pushy. Listen, I get this, don't want to be pushy. We don't want to be Bible bashers and we don't want to be kind of pushing people. But remember, God has told you to do this. One, God has told you to do this. Okay, so he wants you to do it. Number two, it's better for them. It's better for them in the long run that you do. You're not doing this for your benefit, you're doing this for their benefit and because God has told you to do it. Number four, too nervous or lack confidence. The passage that we just read was all about, in Acts chapter 1, and what we talked about last week to do with the Holy Spirit is about the Holy Spirit enabling us, giving us that boldness to be able to share our faith. That's part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit. So pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me to be your witness. Invite the Holy Spirit to do that in you and get Holy Spirit boldness. I mean, yeah, don't rely on your own strength. Rely on his strength in you. He never calls us to do anything that he doesn't equip us to be able to do. Number five, too afraid of the consequences. We might get persecuted. We might lose people as friends because of it. Yeah, we might. Who's the most important person to be friends with and to be following? It's Jesus. And yes, you may lose friends because of it. Yes, you may be persecuted because of it. Are you willing to take up your cross and follow him in that? But you may also find many people become good friends as you do that as well. And you win new friends. Number six, don't feel it's your gifting. You don't feel it's your gifting. Well, yeah, I've already touched on that a little bit. I would say Moses didn't feel it was his gifting either. Jeremiah didn't feel it was his gifting either. There's plenty of men and women in the Bible who didn't feel it was their gifting. They all felt the same, but they did lots for God. And you can too. He will help you to do things for him and to share with others. Can't really be bothered. That kind of comes to the one you were saying, self-centeredness. Is, you know, in a way, it's kind of quite selfish. I can't be bothered. You know, I'm all right, Jack. I've got the news, but, you know, blow them. Actually, this is really important. Remember what's the number one thing on the heart of God and what should be on ours. Can't be bothered isn't the right attitude. It's not an option. Number eight, I witness through my lifestyle. I don't need to talk about Jesus or my faith. I just do it by being a nice person. Again, there are a lot of nice people in the world. We need to connect the dots. It isn't just good enough to say, well, my motivation is because of Jesus, why I'm doing my nice things. How do they know that? And what practical difference does it make to them, what your motivation is and what the other person's motivation is for doing it? We need to talk about and share Jesus with people. That's the distinctive we have. And don't feel good enough. I don't feel good enough to talk about it. Maybe because there's things in your own life you feel that aren't quite right and you'd sound hypocritical. Okay, I get that. Number one, deal with it. If that's what's stopping you doing this, deal with the things in your own life that need to be put right to be right with God. Repent of it, say sorry to God, and commit to living his way. After all, isn't that what being a disciple of Jesus is all about? Secondly, don't feel like it. The gospel isn't based on how you feel. The good news of Jesus isn't based upon how you and I feel. It's based upon the truth of Jesus, and that's what we're sharing with people. And finally, number 10, they won't really be interested. I don't know if you know the stats or not, but there's 2 to 3 million people in the UK would come to church if invited, but are never invited. That's the statistics that are out there. 1 in 5 people would happily engage with a conversation about faith if someone would have it with them. That's the statistics out there. I know not all would. You might get 4 rejections. 2 of them might tell you where to go. 2 of them might just say we're not interested, but 1 might be. Is it not worth the 1? Remember the 100 sheep, the 1 lost sheep? Is it not worth the 1? And so, there are lots of good reasons why we need to witness. I know there's lots of excuses we can make about not doing it, but I really need to encourage us to share our faith. This is the number 1 thing on the heart of God. I want to do a short little kind of drama sketch type thing now, and I'm going to ask Andy to come and help. We haven't practiced this. I just told him what I wanted him to do, and we are completely ad-libbing this.
This isn't going to go well.
I want you to imagine that Andy and I, in fact, Andy, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to call you Bert.
What did I do to offend?
I want you to imagine that Bert and I, you can think of a name for me.
Oh, yeah. Right. You know later.
Yeah. I want you to imagine that Bert and I have been working at a factory together for a while, and this is the conversation that takes place. Do you want to grab a seat?
When's this organisation going to get some decent seats?
Hi, everyone. Good to see you.
All right,
Bert. Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah.
Hey, you're a sort of sporty sort of guy, aren't you?
Yeah, mate.
Are you cycling for the Jays?
No, I don't think I am. No, mate.
Yeah, I'll have a look at that.
If I look a bit nervous, it's because I am. See, I've been working with Bert at this factory for a long time now, and the other day something happened to me, okay? I was walking down the street, you know, like you do, and I heard some singing from a building, and I walked past. I thought, I've not heard that before down here. I'd not been down that way much, and I heard all this singing coming from the building, and I decided to just go in and have a look what was going on. So I just peered in the doorway. Anyway, there was this guy there in the doorway. He said hello. I said hi, and I was just about to go because I thought, oh, I'm doing something wrong. And he said, no, he said, come in, are you interested in it? I said, yeah, I was just wondering what the singing is. He said, oh, come in and have a look. There's a seat at the back here if you want to just slip in. So I did, I slipped in, and I just sat at the back, and there was this guy talking at the front, and he was talking about this man called Jesus, and basically he was saying about how God loved us, and he loved everybody, and that this man Jesus, this he'd come, and he was God's son, and he died to forgive things we'd done wrong. Well, when he said about doing things wrong, I mean I've done a few things in my time, believe me, and I thought, you know, he can't mean me with that. And he said everyone, Everyone. Jesus came, and he came to take the punishment for everyone. I thought, how can he do that? How can he take the punishment for me when he lived all that time ago? And he said, it was for what had gone before. It was for what would come afterwards. Because he was God, he could do that. He could pay the price for all that sin. And we could be forgiven, and we could then go to heaven and be with him when we die. We could know real peace now of being in right relationship with God. Well, I thought I could do with a bit of that in my life, because it's been a bit, you know, a bit of turmoil and stuff. And it would be nice to know that the past wiped clean and I can start again. But I thought, can he really do that? And he says, yeah, if you're interested in this, if anyone here would like to, you can pray where you are. You can just ask God now. So I did. I kind of just bowed my head there and I prayed and I said, God, I'm sorry for things I've done wrong and thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't know you, mate, but if you come and died for me to take that punishment for me and wipe me clean, I'm thank you for that. That's great. And help me to be a better person going forward. Well, I prayed it and it wasn't flashes of lights and everything else, but I did feel better afterwards. And then at the end of the service, he said, if anyone's prayed that prayer, come and talk to me. So I did. I said to him, hey, mate, I did that before. I feel all right, actually. Thank you for that. And he told me I need to do some stuff. He said, listen, I want to help you to learn what it is to follow Jesus more. So I said, yeah, okay. And he said, and there's two or three things I'd like you to do. I'd like you to read your Bible. Well, I haven't got one, but he gave me one. He said, yeah, I have a Bible. And he gave it me to have a look at. And he showed me a bit in it. And he said, I want you to pray. And he said, it's like talking to God. I said, I've already done that bit. I've been praying to him. He said, yeah, keep doing it now because you can grow in relationship. And he said, find a church. You can come to this one if you want or a different one. I said, well, I like this one. I'll come here. So that was fine. But then he said, I want you to tell someone else about what you've done. Find someone you know, maybe you've known a bit and a friend or whatever, and tell them, well, Bertie is my best mate. You know, we've known each other a long time, like I said, and I've got to tell him now about it. But I've never done this bit before. I'm really nervous. I don't know how to do it. How do you talk about this stuff? I mean, anyway, I'll have a go. Hey, Bert.
Marvin.
You all right? What are you doing?
Oh, just chilling out before I go back to the desk, you know. You see those Chelmsford results, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're a lot of playing this afternoon, aren't they?
Yeah, Everton, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're playing today, yeah, Everton, yeah.
Any against Liverpool.
I don't know, mate, no.
No.
Okay. Oh, this is really hard. I don't know how to do it. Okay, come on, Phil, just try. But
yeah.
The other day, I was walking down the street, and I heard some singing, and these birds were really singing well in the trees.
Really?
They were,
yeah.
They were, mate. Yeah. They were good.
Must
good
have been
singers.
Nesting time, was it?
Must have been. Come on. But you know how something things happen to you, and it's kind of different and unusual, and then you want to, you think, I should tell someone about that?
Yeah.
Well, the other day, I was going down the street, and there was this big car, and it had banners and streamers everywhere, and I thought, I must tell Bert about that when I see him.
Yeah. What sort of car?
It was just like, I can't remember,
right.
Mate.
Yeah,
but it was good,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bit unusual. Yeah.
Idiot. I went along the road the other day, and I got to and what did you say the Chelsea score was in the paper?
They lost, was it 3-0?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is ridiculous.
You seem a bit upset,
on,
mate. Wait, what's the matter?
Come on. Okay. Bert, I've got to tell you something. The other day, I was walking down the road, and I heard some singing, and I went in, and I talked to the man, and he said from the front, Jesus, and he said, you need to pray and tell Jesus, and come into your life and it'll make it all better. And I did that and I prayed but I became a Christian. The other day I became a Christian. I just needed to tell you. I've got to tell somebody.
You're a Christian.
Yeah.
And you're telling me you're a Christian.
Yeah, I became a Christian the other day. Yeah, that's what I did the other day.
That's amazing, mate. Hallelujah. Jenno, God, I've been praying for you for years. 30 years I've been on my knees, hoping the Lord would save you. That's the best news I've had all year. God, what are we? God, we've got to get together, mate.
But you're a Christian.
Yeah, been a Christian for years.
Why didn't you tell me? Thank you, Bert.
You said this was unrehearsed. So, and this bit isn't either, but it's a true story, and it relates to what we were just talking about. Back in the early 80s, I got shipped from Southampton to London to work in customs. And we were a new team. And one of the guys I worked with was somebody called Pete Waterman. And he joined at the same time as I did. And you know what you do? You guys, Monday morning, have a coffee, have a chat about the weekend. Just as Phil was saying. Pete's love was football. So that's what he talked about. What do you do? Well, I did this on Saturday. Sunday, go to church. Really? Okay, move on. And over the weeks and months we worked together, that Monday morning conversation, there was always another little question. What happened at church? What were you talking about? Then we were a specialist group. The banks and the accountancy companies liked us, and Pete got stolen away. And I didn't see him for a few years. And then I met him on Liverpool Street Station. Life was difficult. We had a quick word, and he disappeared. And then I suppose it was about 4 years after I was talking to him. I met him again. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I've resigned from the accountancy firm. I said, oh, what are you going to do now then, mate? He said, I'm off to college to train to be a Church of England minister. I said, well, what happened? He said, we used to talk about church. You used to talk about Jesus. He said, so I thought I'd better go and find out about it. So I signed up at an Alpha course at my local church. And it's a C of E. And I became a Christian. And now I want to tell others about it. And that was a guy with a young family who gave up a lucrative career to go and do just what you're saying. The little words make a difference.
Now, I wanted to share some of the things, but time has run out. But I am going to just show the video, because it's only a couple of minutes long. And I want you to see this before you go today. I had some other things to put up on the screen as well. Things that, more things. I was going to talk about things to help us and that with this. But I've run out of time today. I just want you to remember that if you are rejected, Luke 10 talks about being rejected, and it says that if you're rejected, they're rejecting him, not you. And that's really important to remember. Rejoice in your salvation that you have. And remember, when people reject what you're talking about, they're not rejecting you as an individual. They're rejecting the message that you're bringing. They're rejecting Jesus. And that's up to them. But your thing is not that. Your thing is to just share it. It's up to them what they do with it, as you share it in the right way, that news. I think, sometimes it's been said we've lived with the answers so long, some of us, particularly those of us who've been Christians a long time, we've lived with the answers so long, we've forgotten how powerful they really are. They change lives. Jesus changes lives. It changes people's eternity. And how will they know unless we tell, is what the Bible says. But I do want to leave you with something at least that can help with this. And while I can't go through some stuff today because of time, I'm going to give you this 2-minute clip, and it links you to a website that can help with this. www.talkingjesus.org, and you can look it up, and there's different sessions on there, six different sessions that can help give practical advice and support. The leaflets that we've got for our Christmas services, you can give these out to people as well if that helps, just to invite them along to something. Particularly the Sunday, the 23rd of December, the morning service called The Missing Piece, and the evening service, the Carols by Candlelight, you'll find, as you know, that many people are willing to come along to a church at Christmas time. And both those services will involve something of the gospel message being shared in not a kind of overbearing way, but in a very simple way that will be able to hopefully engage with people. So let me encourage you to invite your non-Christian friends to come along to these services if you can. Use that as an opportunity to help you in sharing your faith. But may we all be active in sharing our faith. And I'll pray at the end. Father God, we thank you for our time together this morning here. And we pray that as we go from this place, knowing the good news about you ourselves, knowing the good news of Christmas time when you came, knowing the good news of the gospel, how you died and rose again, may we go out in the power of your Spirit to be your witnesses and to share that good news with others. In the many different ways we may do that, may we be active in sharing that. And may we see a harvest being reaped, being brought in to your kingdom. Bless the work of our hands in this, we ask. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.